So there we were, Slim and I, in the midst of a sorrowful inspection of the damaged window panes, when the phone rang. Slim scowled. Who could that be calling in the middle of the dadgum night? He glanced down at me. What was I supposed to say? I didn't know who was calling. And it wasn't the middle of the night. It was maybe 9 o'clock. Slim headed for the phone in that slow walk of his. Oh, and he was muttering under his breath. Sometimes I think the world was better off when we didn't have any phones. A man could spend a quiet evening without all the... That's fine, ring all you want, I ain't gonna walk one bit faster. At last he found the phone and put the receiver to his ear. Hello? Yes? Yes? Who is this? Oh, Joe. Didn't recognize your voice. Nothing much, just doing a little house cleaning, me and the dogs. He gave me a wink. What's up? Oh, that's not so good. Uh-huh. Yep. Well, we'll keep an eye open for him. If he comes around, I'll try to pin him up. See you in the morning. He hung up the receiver and stared at the floor. I told him that big dog was gonna be big trouble. His eyes came up. That Rottweiler jumped out of the pickup on the way home, and Joe couldn't find him in the dark. Joe's coming back down tomorrow to look for him. Was that a big deal? Not to me. I mean, I had gotten my point across to the mutt, and I was pretty sure we would never see his face around our ranch again. Time and time again, history has proved that the best way to prevent trouble with strange dogs is to be firm with them the first time they show up. That's just what I had done. And I was so unconcerned and unworried about Bruiser that I sat down in the middle of the floor and began hacking at a flea just behind my left ear. Have we discussed the hacking procedure? We dogs use it on unruly fleas who are silly enough to bite us in sensitive spots, such as behind the ears. As you may know, fleas not only bite, but they also steal blood. Some dogs put up with it because... I don't know why they put up with it. Because they're too lazy to take flea countermeasures, I suppose. But I don't put up with it, not for a minute. We have several flea countermeasures, and the one I use most often is called the hacking procedure. In this procedure, the bitten dog drops his bottom side on the ground, or on the floor if he happens to be inside the house, which I was. Once he's achieved the hacking position, he selects one of his two hind legs for the job. I know this may sound complicated, but bear with me. He selects one of his two hind legs for the job. You're probably wondering why we use hind legs instead of front legs. Good question. The reason we used hind legs for this procedure is that front legs are just not capable of delivering a good, robust hack. Front paws are okay for your rubbing or scratching procedures, but fleas seldom respond to rubs or scratches. They have to be hacked. And that's a job for a huge, muscular hind leg, of which I had two. See, your hind legs are hinged in the middle, which means that with the proper training, an experienced dog can get just the right angle for his hack. I chose the left hind leg for this job. You're probably wondering why. Why the left and not the right? Great question, and here's the Scooby on that. In making our hack calculations, we follow a simple equation. You might want to make a note of this. Left ear, left hind leg. Right ear, right hind leg. That makes sense, doesn't it? If I had selected the right leg instead of the left, I would have found it difficult, maybe even impossible, to direct a legal force of claws to the target area because I'm not sure why, actually, but it has something to do with some very complicated laws of physics, and we don't have time for that. Just take my word for it. You can't hack a left ear with a right leg. Okay, now let's put this all together and see how it works. Did you notice that I increased the velocity of my hack? I did. And you're probably wondering, huh? Slim was standing over me, glaring down with stern eyes. All at once, I became aware of quite a few. Were those dog hairs floating in the atmosphere of the living room? Hank, I told you not to shed hair all over my pretty house. Well, yes, sure, but there was a reason for the hairs. See, when you hack a flea, you just naturally hack up a few, well, hairs, dog hairs. And what's a hair to do once it's been hacked up and released into the atmosphere? It floats around. It's a natural, organic process, part of nature's plan for the... He nudged me with his toe and shot a bony finger towards the door. That's it, bozo. Outside. You can shed hair on the porch. What? Wait, I could explain. What did he expect me to do? Sit there and let the stupid flea bite off my ear and drain my entire body of bodily fluids? Hey, that was my blood, and I wasn't going to let some sniveling little flea. He nudged me again with his foot, this time quite a bit harder. Ow. Fine, I could take a hint. If he didn't care any more about his dogs than that, if he expected us to sit around like ninnies and be devoured by biting hypodermiac fleas, fine. I would just march myself outside and spend the night on his broken-down two-bit porch. And I would never come back into his slummy old house again. Never. Come winter, when the north wind howled and groaned, he would want a friend to share his fire. But it wouldn't be me, Charlie. I would be out on the porch, suffering in silence and hacking all the fleas I wanted to hack. And the next time he wanted a loyal dog to join him on a mouse hunt, I would be busy. When he called my name and begged me to share his boring life, I would give him a heartless stare and say, "No, thanks. I'm hacking fleas, and I'm sure you wouldn't approve." Holding my head at a proud angle, I marched myself to the front door, then beamed him a killer look that said, "Is it possible that you're really doing this?" Our eyes met. "Well, Pooch, I'm sure gonna miss you tonight. All the dog hairs and bad smells. Y'all have a sweet dream here. And don't even think about barking all night, 'cause come morning, I won't be my usual charming self." Usual charming self? Ha! That was a laugh. But he didn't need to worry about me barking in the night. Dogs who bark at night are on the job, and I had no intention of working the night shift after being thrown out of house and home over something as silly as a few dog hairs. No, sir, I intended to sleep, and if the monsters came up around the house in the dead of night, Slim could bark at them himself. With that, I turned my nose towards the door. Slim pushed it open, and I marched outside. He would be sorry, of course, but he had done this to himself. I couldn't be blamed. Once out on the porch, I turned around, sat down, and stared at him through the screen. I beamed him looks of deepest tragedy and betrayal. He noticed.
"Are you gonna sit there all night, staring at me through the screen door?"
"I might, yes. I sure might."
"Well, enjoy yourself, 'cause I'm going to bed. Oh, and don't worry. Stubtail will be joining you just as soon as I flush him out from under my bed. Nighty night."
He left. 2 minutes later, he returned with Stubtail and tossed him out with me in the Creole cool world. Cold, cruel world, I should say, although it wasn't actually cold, this being
Never mind. Grover landed on the porch beside me. He avoided my gaze and curled up into a little ball. Well, I see you got thrown out. What did you do this time?
Nothing. I didn't do anything. I was just hiding under the bed and minding my own business, and the next thing I knew, Slim threw me out.
Was it possible that you were shedding hairs under his bed?
Well, I don't think so. I wasn't trying to shed any hairs.
Yes. This is sounding very familiar, Drover, for you see, I was thrown out on the same phony charge.
You were?
Yes. I was minding my own business and hacking at a flea when Slim blundered in and accused me of shedding hairs. Maybe I hacked off a hair or two, but that's no reason for throwing us out.
It's not fair. I thought he was our friend.
Yes, and some friend he turned out to be. Our friendship collapsed under the weight of two or three measly dog hairs. Maybe we should run away, Drover. Just pack our bags and disappear into the night. That might teach him a lesson on how to treat his loyal dogs, the cad.
Yeah, but then we'd have to leave.
Well, yes, of course we'd have to leave. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but it's awful dark. And you know how I am about the dark.
I beamed him with a scorching glare. This is a matter of principle, Drover. Are you going to let your irrational fear of the dark stand in the way of our search for justice?
How far would we have to go?
We'd have to go. I'm not sure. I guess that would depend on how badly our feelings are hurt over this deal. I'm pretty outraged. Maybe we ought to go, say, 20 or 25 miles.
In the dark?
Of course in the dark, unless you want to carry a flashlight in your mouth.
I don't have a flashlight.
Neither do I, so that settles it. There was a long moment of silence. Okay, what about something shorter? Say, 5 miles.
That's still a long way.
Grover, if we're going to quit our jobs and run away from home, we need to go somewhere.
Otherwise, Slim will never learn from his mistake.
He needs to feel some pain for this. If we can't go at least 5 miles, we should just forget it.
Yeah, but what about coyotes?
I gave that some thought. Coyotes could be a problem.
They're pretty scary guys.
Good point. Okay, suppose we go only 1 mile. Maybe that would... Just then we heard the howl of a distant coyote. Or better yet, maybe we could just hike down to the barn and spend the night there.
You think that would be far enough?
Oh, sure. It would deprive Slim of our warmth and presence on his porch. When he wakes up in the morning, he'll look out here and see that we're gone. It just might give him such a scare that he'll change his ways before it's too late. What do you say to that?
Well, I guess I can do it. Are you sure it's safe?
Of course I'm sure. What could happen to us between here and the barn?
Well, okay, I guess I can make it if this old leg will stay with me.
Forget the leg, son. Saddle up and let's move out. I jacked myself up off the porch and beamed a cold glare at the house. Goodbye, old house. Goodbye, Slim. We're quitting our jobs and leaving this hateful place, never to return until tomorrow. If the monsters come out, too bad. We're signing off. You're on your own. And with that, we left the porch and began our long and dangerous journey to Slim's raggedy little barn. You might think this wasn't such a big deal. Me and Drover running away from home and going, 200 feet to the northwest. That's how far the barn was from Slim's shack, see? But let me hasten to point out that it was dark, very dark, and more than a little bit spooky. So going to the barn was a bigger deal than you might have supposed. As we picked our way through the inky darkness, Drover began to moan and groan.
Hank, I wish you hadn't said what you said about monsters. You really think there might be some out here?
It's always a possibility, son. They've been reported in this area, I can tell you that much.
What kind?
Oh, let me think. A tree monster, a bush monster, and a couple of lightning monsters. We know they inhabit this part of the ranch.
Gosh, you reckon we might see one?
Not likely. I checked smell-o-radar and iratory scanners, and they're both clear. I'd say the monsters are working another part of the ranch tonight.
Oh, good. Boy, I'd sure hate to... Did you hear that?
Hear what? I stopped and listened. I don't hear anything.
Well, I heard something. Listen. Hear that clicking sound?
I lifted my iratory scanners and swept a circle for sounds. Sure enough, I began picking up a mysterious clicking sound. There it is, Drover. I don't want to alarm you, but my instruments are picking up... Yes, there it is. A clear signal.
Oh, my gosh. I knew we should have stayed on the porch.
Hush. I'm trying to run diagnostics on this. I studied the huge lighted screen of my mind. This isn't looking good, son.
What is it?
We're picking up a clear signal of teeth clicking.
Teeth clicking? Oh, my gosh. It's a monster. Help, murder, mayday.
Shh. Control yourself. Be professional. I must admit that I was having a little trouble with this myself. I mean, when you're out there in the dark and you hear... Boom. Drover was moaning again.
Do monsters have teeth?
Affirmative.
Do they ever click their teeth?
Sometimes they do, yes, but not very often. Only when they're about to...
Attack and tear something to shreds?
I didn't want to put it that way, Drover, but... Yes. According to our reports, they click their teeth when they, do the things you mentioned. And I'm afraid we... Wait a minute. Hold everything.
I'm trying to hold it, but if this gets any scarier, I'm gonna lose it.
Shh. Listen. I studied the sound again. It seems to be close, don't you think?
Yes. I'm afraid so.
It seems to be... Drover, the sound is coming from you. Have you been clicking your teeth?
Me? No, I don't think so. My teeth have been chattering, but they haven't clicked.
Clicking, chattering, it's all the same. You're the cause of this, and I must warn you not to click or chatter your teeth anymore.
Yeah, but I'm scared. And when I'm scared, my teeth chatter.
Well, stop it. You're sending confusing signals that mess up our instruments.
I want to go back to the porch.
Oh, rubbish. There's no monster out here. Dry up and let's get on with this. We resumed our creeping journey through the darkness. We had gone another 20 steps when Drover whispered,
Hank, I hear footsteps behind me.
I stopped and heaved a sigh. Drover, please. We have a very important mission here.
Yeah, but I heard footsteps. Listen.
I listened. I hear nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Me too, but I'm almost sure I heard footsteps when we were walking.
I couldn't help chuckling. When we were walking, that's a crucial piece of evidence, Drover. Shall I explain? Okay. When we walk, our feet make... You supply the answer.
Footsteps?
Exactly. Very good.
Yeah, but these were behind me.
I'm getting there, Drover. Just relax. Consider the way your body is put together. On one end, we have your head, right?
I think so.
And upon your head sits a pair of... What?
Let's see. Ears?
Ears, yes. Which are the devices that pick up sounds. Now let's move to the other end of your body. What do we find there?
Well... A stub tail and my bow hunkers.
Right. And below those parts, we have what?
I don't know. I'm all confused.
We have your hind legs, Drover. And attached to the end of your hind legs are your hind feet. And when you walk, your hind feet make footsteps. Are you getting it yet?
Yeah, but the footsteps were behind me.
I rolled my eyes. Of course they were, numbskull. You are hearing your own footsteps. Now cut out the nonsense and let's get on with this.
Yeah, but shh.
No more. Silence. We resumed our trek down to the footsteps. Heavy footsteps. I stopped. Drover stopped. The heavy footsteps continued, then stopped. My mouth was suddenly dry. Drover, I don't want to alarm you, but I'm now picking up those footsteps you mentioned.
I thought they were mine.
They weren't yours, and unless I'm badly mistaken... I cut my eyes from side to side. Drover, one last question. When we were inside the house, Slim got a phone call. It was something about a dog. Bruiser, did you happen to hear what Slim said?
Well, let's see here. I think he said...
The silence that followed was deadly.
Hank, you don't reckon...
It was then that we heard the burst of wicked laughter behind us. The hair on my back and neck stood straight up. Drover, was that you laughing?
No.
It wasn't me. Do you see what this means? Then came the eerie voice from the darkness.
Hi, fellas. Out for a little stroll? I guess you thought I was gone, huh? Well, darn the luck. I came back.
Drover, we have a problem. And I hear water running.
It's me! I want to go home!
Back to the porch, son. Go to Turbo 5 and don't speak to any strangers. Let's hit it! I went to full flames in Turbo 5 on all engines and... ran into something big and hairy. I bounced off it and went streaking through the darkness and didn't slow down until I made it safely to the front porch. There, I went straight into a Code 3 barking sequence. Have we discussed the CTBS? Hang on. Big bark. Massive bark. Barks that echo through the night. Barks that are calculated to alert the house and call our human friends to the rescue. This was no time for timid barks, fellers. We had to sound the alarm and let Slim know that Bruiser was back and on the prowl. And if Slim didn't get himself out of bed and hurry up... The front door opened, thank goodness, and there stood Slim in his... Yikes. In his shorts with hair falling into his puffy eyes and a ferocious expression on his face. He pushed open the screen door and leveled a finger at the end of my nose.
Hank. If you'll shut up your dadgum barking, I'll try not to do what I'm thinking of doing. You hear?
Yes, sir, but...
Now go to sleep. First you trash my house with your hair, then you wake me up with all that frazzling noise.
He slammed the door. Silence moved over us like a dark cloud of smoke. I could hear Drover's clacking teeth beside me. And then, Bruiser's heavy footsteps were moving up the walk and towards the porch. There was just a glimmer of moonlight, enough so that I could make out the profile of... Good grief, that was a huge Rottweiler, as big as a bear! Did I dare activate the Code 3 barking sequence again? My mind was racing. We were trapped between Slim's irritation and Bruiser's massive presence. I had to choose my poison. I chose to face Slim's irritation. I had faced it before, and I knew that no matter how mad he got at us dogs, he would never eat us. With Bruiser, I wasn't so sure. I launched myself into another barrage of massive barking.
Slim, help! Get out of bed! He's back! Bruiser's back! The raging Rottweiler's out here in the front yard, so could you please?
It worked. At last, my barking got his attention and convinced him that we were in a desperate situation. It had taken him long enough, but, oh well, better late than tardy. The door opened. My confidence came rushing back when I heard his foot land on the porch. A sneer worked its way across my mouth, and I turned myself to face the darkened yard in which I knew Bruiser was lurking, even though I couldn't actually see him. And you might find this hard to believe, but I was feeling so good about this that I decided it was time to send a warning to Mr. Rottweiler. Okay, potlicker, I can now reveal that you've walked right into our trap. Surprise? Ha! What a dumbbell you turned out to be. Did you think you could just walk onto my ranch without permission and get away with it? It's called trespassing, and you're now in big...
You won't believe what happened. There I was on the front porch, barking my very heart out and trying to get the message through Slim's thick skull that a raging Rottweiler was standing in his yard. All of that, and guess what he did? He drenched me with a pot of cold water. See? I told you that you wouldn't believe it, and sure enough, you didn't. I couldn't believe it either. I mean, there I was in the trenches, in the foxholes of life, in a very dangerous combat situation, doing my job and trying to protect his house from a raging Rottweiler. And he stepped out on the porch and threw a pot of water on me. Slim did. Oh, and then he said, this is an exact quote, he said, "Hank, I've run out of nice ways of telling you to quit barking. Now shut up and let me get some sleep." The door closed and he was gone. As water dribbled off the end of my nose, I sensed that my relationship with Slim had taken a plunge into a new direction. Up to then, it had been a mixture of good and bad. From now on, it would be a mixture of bad and worse. I would have to resign, of course, and leave the ranch forever. Slim and I would never see each other again. I had no other choice. You can't humiliate the head of ranch security and expect him to go on as though nothing had happened. No, it was over. My friendship with Slim Chance came to a bitter end the very moment he dumped that pot of... Laughter? I heard a deep, wicked laugh coming from the direction of the yard. And suddenly I was reminded that I had recently mouthed off to a very large... And yes, it appeared that we had more pressing problems than my souring relations with Slim. Bruiser was out there in the darkness. I still couldn't see him, but now I could hear him breathing. Your Rottweilers are sloppy breathers. Did you know that? They are. They snort and slop when they breathe. And on a dark night, it sounds pretty eerie. I ran my gaze through the darkness. Drover, can you hear me? No answer. Then?
I hear you.
Good. Listen carefully. Our situation is looking grim. Number one, I have reason to believe that there's a dangerous Rottweiler in front of the house.
I thought you said he was a scaredy cat.
We may have gotten some bad information on that, son. Okay, number two, we barked the house for reinforcements, remember? They're not coming. We're cut off from the main column, and we're on our own.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, number three, we need a volunteer to lead a scouting mission into the yard. We must find out what we're facing here. And number four, we've talked about how I need to be giving you more responsibility, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this would be a great opportunity for you to prove what you're made of.
Yeah, but I already know. Spaghetti.
Spaghetti? Drover, are you saying... Drover, where are you? Give me your exact location.
I'm on top of the wood pile.
On top? Drover, get down here at once. Our porch is under assault.
Yeah, and it could be under a pepper, and I'd still be up here.
What? Are you refusing to obey a direct order? Drover, I command you to answer my question.
Can't hear you, Hank. You'll have to yell. I must have some wax in my ear.
You've got wax in your brain. And as your commanding officer, I demand... Bruiser's ugly laugh cut through the darkness.
It's looking pretty bad, ain't it, boys? Two mutts on the porch, and neither one has the guts to stand up and fight.
Did I dare respond? Yes, I had to. I would deal with Drover later.
Oh, Bruiser, is that you? Hey, how's it going? Pretty dark tonight, huh?
Yeah, real dark. Too dark for a town dog like me to be out walking around. You know, I might get lost or something. What I really need is a nice porch to sleep on. Know what I mean?
A porch? Yes, porches are nice. They sure are. And hey, I just remembered. The next house down the creek has a great porch. Bigger than this one. Better, much better. Glider swing, pillows, you name it. Great porch. Maybe you could...
Nah, I don't need the exercise. Even though some smart guy once said, I walk like a fat duck.
Fat duck? Now who would... Oh, you mean me. That was just a joke, Bruiser. Honest, just a joke. Good, wholesome humor, but no kidding. I think you'd love that porch down the creek. It's worth the walk.
Nah, I'm scared of the dark. And besides, I like your porch.
You do? Well, thanks. That's a nice compliment, although the porch actually belongs to Slim, and I'm not sure he'd want you sleeping here on his porch. Don't you see?
Yeah? Well, bark him out of bed again, and we'll ask.
No, I think not. We tried that, and, well, he asked that we not disturb him.
Bruiser was moving up the steps. I could hear his sloppy breathing.
Well, gee, what can we do? I mean, I sure wouldn't want to sleep here if I'm not welcome.
It's nothing personal. He just doesn't allow a strange dog, see, sleeping on the porch. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah? Well, here's the way I figure it. I'm going to sleep on your porch. The only question is, how many dogs do I have to kill before I do it?
I tried to swallow the cotton and wool inside my mouth.
How many dogs? Bruiser, may I ask you a personal question? We were told, that is, we received a tip that, well, maybe you're not as mean as you seem to be. Is there any, well, truth to that?
I heard him laugh.
Well, now, I guess you could bet your life on it and find out.
No, that's not necessary, really. No, it's a big porch, Bruiser, and I'm sure there's plenty of...
I have an idea. I'll sleep on the porch, and you sleep on top of the wood pile with your buddy. How does that sound?
He was right beside me now. I could feel his hot dragon breath on my face.
Actually, Bruiser, I think it would look bad. Undignified. See, I'm head of ranch.
He cut loose with a low, deep growl.
On second thought, that would be fine. The woodpile would be great. No problem. Drover, make way. I'm coming up.
I leaped up on top of the woodpile. Drover was there, of course, and he greeted me with,
Oh, hi. What are you doing up here?
Never mind. Scoot over. It seems we're going to be sharing this bunk.
Oh, good, but I thought, never mind. Scoot over and dry up.
He skied over and dried up, and silence fell over our little compound. The silence didn't last long. Drover, the little goof, fell right off to sleep. How could he sleep at such a time? And began making his usual orchestra of weird sounds, wheezing, whistling, honking, and grunting in his sleep. As if that weren't bad enough, Bruiser had his own set of noises.
Remember what I said about Rottweilers being sloppy breathers? Well, guess what they do in their sleep? They snore. He snored like a 10-ton truck. No kidding, it was terrible. Who could sleep in the midst of such noise? I'll tell you. Drover and Bruiser. Oh, and Slim. Mister couldn't sleep for all the noise and doused me with a pot of water. Now that we had our Rottweiler King Kong occupying our porch, Slim slept like a rock. Great help he turned out to be. Well, I knew I would be up for the rest of the night. I mean, not only was the noise unbearable, but I had many things on my mind, such as what Slim would say in the morning if he found the entire security division asleep on the heights of the woodpile. It wouldn't look good, not good at all, and worrying about such detonks is just the sort of thing that keeps me awake all night, I should say. See, I spend a lot of my time worrying about a bunk such tiny derails to detail. My mind is very ochre, don't you sleep on it. It conks me a wonk, snark like boiled turnips, chasing rabbits through the pillow feathers. Okay. Maybe I finally dozed off. And the next thing I knew, I heard a door open and found myself staring at a scarecrow. That was odd. Scarecrows lived in gardens, right? And this was no garden. This was... I blinked my eyes and studied my surroundings, shall we say. The porch. I was lying on the porch. On the woodpile, actually, and the scarecrow turned out to be Slim. The events of the previous evening came rushing back to my memory banks, and I found myself beaming looks of great embarrassment toward Slim, and giving my tail slow taps, as if to say, I know this looks odd, but hear me out. I can explain everything. He blinked his soggy red eyes. What are you fools doing on the woodpile? Then his gaze slid away from me and fell upon the sleeping monster on our porch. His eyebrows shot up. Good honk, it's Bruiser. Is that what you dogs were barking about? Oh, brother. Just then, Bruiser woke up and raised his head. He looked straight into Slim's eyes. Rottweilers do that, you know. They have a way of staring directly at someone and showing not one hint of fear. They just stare, and you don't have any idea what's going through their minds. That must have unnerved old Slim, because he backed into the house, and when he returned a moment later, he was armed with a catch rope. I felt an impulse to stand up and cheer, but I didn't, because I knew that we were about to enter into a very dangerous moment. Let's see if I can describe it. From where I was sitting, it appeared that Slim had chosen the rope as his weapon of choice. See, a cowboy's rope can be either a catching device or a pretty good substitute for a club, depending on the situation. I'd seen Slim kill big rattlesnakes with his rope. Pull the loop down to a knot, swing the knot around on 6 feet of rope, and then whack! You could crush a rattlesnake's head with one shot. Without taking his eyes off of Bruiser, he built a small loop and took a step in Bruiser's direction. Bruiser's eyes never moved or wavered. Slim started talking in a voice that was soft but firm. Now, Bruiser, you've lost your way in the world, and I mean you no harm. I'm going to ease this loop around your neck so's you'll be around when Joe McCall gets here to pick you up. It's for your own good, and nobody's going to hurt you. Unless you decide to play King Kong again, and then, son, the fur will fly. Yours. Slim took another step. Bruiser didn't flinch or move or show any emotion at all. Their eyes were locked together. Drover woke up, saw the scene unfolding, and covered his eyes with his paws. Slim took another step. Bruiser stared. The tension grew and grew. I could hardly stand to watch it. I had a feeling that something terrible was about to happen, and... This is getting too scary. I don't think we better go on. What? You're still here? I guess you think I'm going to change my mind and tell you the rest of the story, huh? Nope, can't do it. Sorry. It's just too tense and scary. Think of the kids. It might scare them so badly they'd... I don't know what might happen. We'll skip over the bad part and go to something else. It's for your own good, honest. Okay, here we go. It was morning on the ranch and there was no raging Rottweiler on the porch. Not even a sign of one. Not only was Bruiser not there, but we'd never heard of him. And maybe he didn't even exist. Yes, that was it. There was no such dog as Bruiser. And even if there had been... Oh, what the heck? Maybe you can handle it. Shall we give it a try? Okay, but don't blame me if you get scared all the way into next week. Here we go. Hang on. There they were, Slim and Bruiser, heading for a faithful confrontation. Fateful, I should say. And neither showed any sign of backing down. Gulp. But one of them had to back down. In this game of nerves, there could be only one winner. Slim held the loop out in front of him. Bruiser didn't look at the loop. His steely eyes were fixed on Slim. Closer and closer. At that very moment, when it appeared that Slim and Bruiser were heading down a path of no return, we heard the rattle of a pickup coming our way. It was Joe McCall. Bruiser turned his head and looked towards the sound. Slim eased the loop over his head and snugged it up. Not tight, but snug. I held my breath and waited to see what Bruiser would do. You won't believe this. He felt the rope, looked up at Slim, and began wagging his stuffed tail. Slim leaned down and rubbed him behind the ears. That's better. Nice dog. He straightened up and made a low whistling sound. I guess he ain't as mean as he looks. He turned to me and grinned. It's safe for you heroes to come down off the woodpile now. Was he suggesting? Hey, for his information, I had chosen to sleep on top of the woodpile because it was cooler up there. And I had nothing, almost nothing at all, to do with any uneasy feelings I might have had about... Hey, Bruiser was nothing but a big windbag, and I'd known it the minute I'd first laid eyes on him. Scared of cats, scared of his face in the mirror, all bark and no bite, all talk and no fight. Why, he was just lucky I was such a kind and generous dog. Otherwise, I might have... I hopped down off the woodpile and walked boldly up to Mr. Phony Rottweiler and put my nose in his left flank. He growled. Big deal. I gave him one right back, and mine was twice as awesome as his.
You best keep your distance, cowdog.
Oh, yeah? Tell that to Drover. He might be impressed. Before I could give the big chicken liver the thrashing he so richly deserved, Joe McCall rushed in and snapped the chain around his neck and led him away to the pickup. When I saw that the chain was secured to the racks of the pickup, I dived off the porch and went streaking out into the yard. Slim tried to hold me back, but my thirst for revenge was just too great. I gave the mutt a burst of savage warning barks. And let that be a lesson to you, Mr. Phony Rottweiler. If you ever set foot on this ranch again, you won't be walking like a fat duck anymore. You won't even be walking because you won't have any legs. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet. I got him cold, yes, sir. And the big lug was so shocked, so scared, so amazed, he didn't even bark back. He just gave me that ugly stare and rumbled, "You're such a loser." I drove away. I lobbed a few more barks at them from the gravel drive just to make sure they didn't stop or loiter on their way out. Then I turned and marched proudly back to the porch. Slim was there, leaning against the porch post and running a toothpick through his teeth. I could see that he was impressed.
"You know, Hank, there's certain times when a dog ought to keep his mouth shut. But some dogs learn harder than others."
Okay, so maybe he wasn't impressed. Did I care? Heck no. I had done my job and had sent the Rottweiler packing. And it was just too bad that Slim didn't appreciate the high quality of my work. He was the same guy, you might remember, who had dumped a pot of water on me in the middle of the night. That's how much he knew about ranch security. Zero. Well, by then it was past 8 o'clock and time to start the day's work. Slim hooked up the stock trailer, saddled a horse, and loaded him in the trailer. As he was walking towards the pickup, he saw me and Grover sitting in front of the barn.
"I'm going up on the flats to check on them steers. Y'all want to tag along?"
Me tag along with him? After he dumped that pot of water on me? Ha! No thanks. I had better things to do and better friends to do them with. He shrugged and climbed into the pickup.
"Dumb dogs."
Grover shot me a glance. "Know what? I think I'll go. How about you?" "Not me, pal. Slim and I aren't on the best of terms right now. I think it would do him some good to spend the day alone." "Yeah, but it's kind of boring around here." "Not for me, son. Excitement is where you find it, and I seem to find quite a lot of it no matter where I am." Slim started the motor. Grover began edging towards the pickup. "Well, I think I'll go. See you around." He hopped up into the back. "That's fine, Grover. You go, and I'll stay here and enjoy my own company. Bye, Hank." They pulled away. What a relief. At last, I was rid of the little squeak box and could look forward to spending my whole day. Come to think of it, there wasn't all that much to do around Slim's place. I mean, no chickens to chase, no cats to humble, no... I trotted out and followed the pickup. "Grover, on second thought, I might go along for the ride." "Hold up a second." "Well, I'm not driving. You'll have to get Slim's attention." "You can forget that. Slim and I aren't on speaking terms right now." "Well, I don't know what to do. Bye now. Have a good day." Okay. So I had to swallow my pride and trot along beside the pickup to, well, inform Slim that I had reconsidered his offer and had decided. He saw me trotting beside the pickup. I knew he saw me, but did he pull over and let me in? Oh, no. That would have been too simple and easy. He made me trot and run a quarter mile before he finally stopped in the middle of the road. And then, of course, he had to make a big deal out of it.
"Make up your mind, Pooch. I ain't running a taxi service. If you're going with me, get in."
See, that's all the thanks I got for... Oh, well. One of us had to show some maturity, and as usual, it had to be me. I hopped into the back and growled Grover out of my place of honor in the middle of the spare tire. We turned right on the county road and picked up speed. The wind began blowing my ears and tongue around. It blew my tongue around because my mouth was open, because that's how we dogs air condition our bodies in hot weather. We pant, see? And somehow that panting action cools us down. So I closed my eyes and let the wind tease and tickle my ears, while it also served the purpose of cooling down my dog hairs. I opened my eyes and noticed a bunch of dog hairs swirling around in the air. Several of them. a bunch of them, had landed on my tongue-ary region, forcing me to close my mouth and spit them out. I beamed a glare at my assistant. Over the roar of the wind, I yelled,
"Hey, quit shedding hair. They're getting in my mouth."
He grinned.
"Yeah, I was under Slim's bed, but it sounded like fun."
"Mouth. My mouth."
"You killed a mouse?"
"You're getting hair in my mouth.
You got a mouse in your mouth?"
"No,
I'm getting your hair in my mouth. Hair. Your hair is swirling around."
"Squirrels around? I thought they were mine."
"What?
The squirrels. Were they inside the house?"
"Those were mice. Mice.
Yeah, squirrels are nice. I've always liked them." This wasn't working. I heaved a sigh and pulled myself out of my spare tire throne and lumbered over to the runt. I put my mouth at the entrance of his ear canal and raised my voice.
"I said, you are shedding hair. The hair is getting in my mouth."
He crumpled up like a burned spider and put his paws over his ears.
"Don't yell, it hurts my ears, and I hate to be yelled at in the morning."
"Okay, then try reading my lips. Look at my mouth."
He looked at my mouth.
"I'll be darned. Did you know you got dog hairs in your mouth?" "What? You'll have to speak up. I can't hear anything in this wind."
He put his mouth next to my ear.
"Did you know you've got dog hairs in your mouth?"
His screeching was so loud, it caused my auditory circuits to short out.
"Don't yell in my ear, you bonehead. I'm not deaf. Now, what did you say? I'll try to read your lips. Drover, you've got dog hair all over your lips. Were you aware of that?"
"I know. I think they're yours. Maybe you're shedding hair in this heat."
For a moment, I stared into the emptiness of his eyes. I felt exhausted, worn down by the forces of chaos. "Drover, sometimes I get the feeling that it's impossible to communicate with you. Please don't ever speak to me again."
"Oh, that's okay. A few little hairs won't hurt. Drover, sometimes I think I hate you." "No, I ate first thing this morning. I couldn't hold another bite, but thanks."
I turned away from the little lunatic and staggered back to my spare tire. I curled up and closed my eyes for the remainder of the ride. Make no mistake about it, Drover is a weird little mutt.